target that I'm probably gonna miss. A Teen Wolf fanfic read by the author because Betab told me to. When Scott calls Styles to ask if he wants to come over and hang, it's pretty much just a formality. They've spent every Saturday night together for as long as Scott can remember. It's not like Styles is gonna have other plans. Well, except for last Saturday, when Styles actually did claim to have other plans. Scott's still a little bit bothered by that, actually. The Venn diagram of their social lives has always just been one little densely overlapped circle, and Scott is very uncomfortable with the idea of Styles going off and getting his own private circle without even telling him first. He doesn't care if that makes him sound possessive. He's allowed. There must be something somewhere in the best friend code that backs him up on this. Styles says when Scott asks, and oh, that's not a good sign. I kind of already... Okay, what is it? Scott interrupts before Styles can weasel his way off the phone. We've hung out every weekend since the first grade, Styles. What is going on? Oh, every weekend except for the weekends you were with Allison, Styles says, and Scott flinches. I already apologized for that, he says. He did, too. Several times. He's made a real effort to keep Styles a priority, even now that he and Allison are, blissfully but complicatedly, on again. It's been more than a year since he blew Styles off for a date. He didn't think he was still holding a grudge. I tried to explain that to you. It's not like it's any excuse, but the way you feel when it's new, it's hard to focus on anything else, you know? He winces again, because no, Scott, Styles doesn't know. Because he's never dated anyone, why don't you rub salt in every one of his wounds today, you complete jackass? Yeah, Styles sighs, his voice all warm and gooey and sweet. What the fuck? And then, oh, I mean, no. How would I know that? It's like, maybe the way I feel when a new version of Assassin's Creed comes out is what I... Styles. Scott shifts the phone to his other ear and sits down. You're doing your misdirection thing. I thought we had a tacit agreement to always pretend I'm an excellent liar, not at all completely transparent, Styles shoots back, and to his credit, he only sounds a tiny bit shaken. Just like how we never mentioned your terrible singing voice or your weird sexual hang-ups. I said bondage was weird one time, Styles. Jeez, I think maybe you're a little hung up on... Scott stops and laughs. Okay, that one actually almost worked. Props, dude. Worth a try, Styles says. Okay. So there's no reason to keep this from you. Well, there are a lot of reasons, actually, but not really any that are good enough. Scott waits a full 60 seconds in silence. Are you actually going to say something? Should I guess? Do I get 20 questions? I'm kind of gay, Styles blurts out. Well, half gay. At least half? When it seems like Styles is waiting for him to react, Scott says, Oh, really? Styles makes a deeply frustrated noise. Oh my god, you already knew? How did you already know? I didn't even know. You always had a bit of a thing for Danny, Scott says, shrugging even though Scott Styles can't see him. Also that exchange student from Sweden back in the 8th grade? Oh my god, Sven, Styles groans. I totally did, you're right. His eyes. I just told myself I was fascinated by his hilarious accent at the time. What the fuck? I thought it was just another one of those things we never directly talked about, but, like, already knew about each other. It's not a big deal or anything. I mean, is it a big deal? Not really. Styles gives a small, sardonic laugh, which indicates he's been prepared for this conversation to go a lot worse than it actually did. My dad was really chill about it too, actually, which must mean it was massively obvious to absolutely everyone. Pretty much. Scott says sympathetically. Everyone except you, I guess. I've only known for like a month, Styles says, sounding annoyed. Scott can hear the mattress spring squeak as he throws himself back onto his bed. That's when I realized, well, there's this guy. I figured, since you're suddenly all booked up every weekend. Also, your voice went all melty marshmallow a second ago when I mentioned being in love. Oh, shut up! I'm not in love, Styles says. He sounds nervous again, even though the scary part of the confession should be over, and it makes Scott wary. Especially since he's almost positive Styles just lied to him, and holy shit, when did Styles find the time to fall in love without Scott noticing? Styles, the guy, it's not someone I know, is it? The thing is, they don't know many people, between the two of them. Danny already has a boyfriend, and the other options aren't exactly encouraging. Styles squeaks and then coughs. Maybe? Oh, God. Is it... Are you dating one of the wolves? It just happened, Styles breathes, muffled like he's running a hand over his face. I thought it was just, you know, a physical thing, and I was gonna wait for it to go away, but it got worse. And so I just thought, one date, right? One date, we'll see how it goes. I'll probably hate it, and it'll probably threaten to claw my face off, and everything could just go back to normal. Claw your... Scott slowly slides off the side of the bed onto the floor, staring dully at the wall. Derek. You're dating Derek. Come on, Scott. No, Scott, Styles is saying urgently. No, don't say it like that. Like he's... You two are cool now, aren't you? You hardly ever fight anymore. He came to your birthday party. Because you invited him without asking me, Scott points out. He's still a bit dazed. Derek is... Okay, it's not like they're enemies. Not anymore. Ever since they worked together under a tenuous truce to get rid of the Alphas last year, they've been cordial with each other, at least. Scott's good friends with Isaac. He's even become fairly close with Boyd and Erica. He was directly involved in saving their lives, after all. They all found it difficult to maintain the animosity after that. But he still can't bring himself to join their pack. It's the principle of the thing. Derek is such a dick. Derek is such a dick, Scott says passionately, and then closes his eyes when Styles responds with long, ice-cold silence. I know you have your issues with each other, Styles says after a moment. But that's my boyfriend you're talking about, okay? Don't make that face at me. I'm not... Scott reaches up and feels that, yes, he actually is making a face. Sorry, but really? Really, Styles says firmly. It's only been a week, but man, I've never felt... It's just... It's... something. Okay? Okay, says Scott. And another thing. Wait, what? Just like that? Just like that, Scott says. He deeply wants to wrap Styles up and ship him off to Australia just to get him safely away from Derek, but that's not exactly his prerogative. Plus, he doesn't think FedEx makes boxes big enough. Not in his price range. If you want, Styles says carefully, you should come over. This afternoon, Derek will be here, and you two could, you know. Growl threateningly at each other over your head, Scott suggests, and Styles laughs. Basically, yeah. You in? Sounds fun, Scott sighs, defeated. If this is his punishment for being a subpar friend for a few months, he'll just have to take it like a man. Karma is a bitch. The first thing Scott says when he walks into the Stilinski living room and sees Derek and Styles setting up the game of life on the floor is, "You let him have the green car?" It's not the most auspicious beginning. Scott wonders if they should all just give up right now. "I'd rather have the red car, actually," Derek says, eyeing Scott sideways, and the wolfish part of Scott feels radiantly smug about having successfully defended his territory. Styles looks up at the ceiling like he can't believe this is his life. Oh my God, Scott, it's just a pawn. It has no effect whatsoever on gameplay. I think the car is symbolic, Derek suggests, shuffling the career cards. I'll symbolically break your jaw, Scott mumbles under his breath, and Derek shoots him an absolutely infuriating little smirk. Scott can go first, Styles says desperately. College or career, Scott? College, Scott says pointedly. But then, we're both going to college in real life. Isn't that right, Styles? You'll probably get a great scholarship with your grades. You can go to any school you wanted, anywhere in the country, possibly even very far away. Derek rumbles out a distressed-sounding growl, and that's even more satisfying than getting to play the green car. I'm only applying in-state, Styles says, brushing the back of his hand against Derek's elbow, soothing him. And you know I'll only consider the schools we both get accepted to, Scott. Come on. Styles did always promise they'd go to the same college. Even back in sophomore year, when Scott's grades were seriously abysmal, Styles would wax poetical about their exciting future at one of California's premier slacking schools. Styles is pretty fucking awesome sometimes. Derek spins the wheel, chooses career, ugh, and ends up as a hairdresser, which makes Styles whoop like he's just won the lottery. Aw, man, he crows, slapping Derek on the shoulder with the fanned-out deck of cards. What joke do I make first? There are just so many to choose from. You'll get yours when you end up as an accountant, Derek says, smiling this warm, teasing smile that Scott's never seen before. Just sitting in an office, all day, counting. Stop, no! Oh my god, you're making my brain twitch just thinking about it. Amortization, Derek says gleefully. Valuation. Subsidiary accounts. All right, Paul Mitchell, I've had enough! Stiles cries, nudging into Derek's side with his whole body and, Jesus, giggling. I surrender to your razor wit. See what I did there? Razor. Too bad your dazzling wordplay won't be appreciated down at the auditing firm, Derek says, full of mock sympathy. He reaches up seemingly without a thought to fix a wrinkle in Stiles' shirt collar. And for some reason, that's just the last straw. I need a soda, Scott says, and escapes to the kitchen. Scott's been sitting at the kitchen table for 10 minutes, staring morosely at a can of Coke Zero, when Derek comes in and drops down into the chair across from him. I don't know what you want from me, Derek says. Scott isn't Derek's biggest fan, but he has to give him this. At least he's direct. I want you to back off and let Stiles be with someone better, Scott says, just as directly. Derek looks down at the table. Stiles should be with someone better, he says softly. But he chose me. I couldn't say no, even though I should have. It's not even legal, Scott says, pointing accusingly at Derek with his Coke can. They aren't doing anything wrong, Derek insists, and Scott snorts because please. Please, he says. I know Stiles. I've known Stiles since puberty and beyond, dude. Stiles is, like, hypersexual. I'm surprised you still have clothes on right now. Derek's whole neck flushes, and that shocks Scott so much he almost drops the soda. We're taking it slow, he says. I'm taking it slow. Stiles is patient. Stiles is trying to be patient, he amends when Scott makes a disbelieving noise. I don't understand why. How can he actually trust you? Scott pulls at his hair. Are we in the Twilight Zone? I mean, I know you two had your side projects over the past year with the bestiary translations and that website he helped you set up, but... Still have to register on that, by the way, Derek says. And you should check my name in your alpha column for your own safety. I don't need your bullshit werewolf network, and I don't need your so-called protection, Scott seethes, jumping up. You've offered that before, and it's nearly gotten me, plus all of my friends, including Stiles, by the way, killed more than once. You've lied to me and manipulated me and generally fucked me over too often for anything you say to matter now. What about the times you fucked me over? Derek rises to his feet, leaning menacingly over the table. We can't keep stirring this up forever, Scott. We have to find a way to make peace. Why? So you can mess around with my best friend and not worry about me punching your teeth in when you end up breaking his heart? No, because I fucking love him and he doesn't like hurting you. Derek snaps and then freezes, glancing guiltily toward the living room. I don't think he heard you, Scott offers faintly. From what he can hear, Stiles has been singing a wildly inaccurate version of We Didn't Start the Fire to himself for the past 4 minutes. Good. That's good. Derek collapses back into the chair and studies his hands intently. And Scott tilts his head because his whole entire world has just gone off kilter. You're actually really scared about all this, Scott says carefully. Aren't you? Terrified, Derek says, laughing a little. It's practically identical to Stiles' self-deprecating, oh, don't worry about me, laugh, and Scott's heart twists in his chest. Does Stiles know you're, like, freaking out? Stiles has never been in a relationship before. Derek reaches out and fidgets with Scott's soda can, denting the side with his thumb. Scott narrows his eyes but refrains from saying anything. I don't want to cause drama. Stiles loves drama, are you kidding? Don't coddle him, he won't thank you for that. Yeah, Derek says, meeting his eyes sheepishly. I think you're right. Thank you. Scott realizes too late he's just accidentally given relationship advice to Derek Hale, and he throws his head back and groans. Ugh, whatever, he says, and he finds himself returning Derek's cautious smile. You can keep Styles, I guess, but get your own soda. You drive a hard bargain, Derek says, smiling with all of his teeth. When they shake hands, Scott only squeezes a little too hard. The end.